Well, good afternoon, everyone. Hey, it's great to see a packed crowd. I guess word got out I was speaking. Glad to see that. Hey, I like this lectern, too. You know, I don't have to hold the stuff out there. I just stand here, and there it is. I guess this is like an old, over 50 lectern. Only thing, it doesn't have a place for the water. You know, as I walked outside this morning early, the sun was just rising. I was surveying my kingdom. My wife had just mowed the grass yesterday, and it was all perfect. And it was just so calm and peaceful and, you know, just beautiful day. But the interstate highway is about a mile. I need some water here. From our home. And it sounded like it was in the, you know, next to the property, like it was 100 yards away. And I thought, you know, the world's just going by and they don't have a clue what we understand as a church. As a child, I remember my dad discussing or arguing with my Aunt Gladys about whether Satan was already chained. And I don't remember, I was quite young, who was taking sides, but I think my dad thought, well, yeah, he's already chained. And she was arguing, no, that's not possible. Because I remember he said, well, a chained dog, you can chain a dog, but if you get over there within his reach, he can still bite you. So he was insinuating, well, he's chained, but if people insist on going their own way, they're going to get bit anyway. While in Rome last feast, we went through the ruins and of course, the Vatican, and the guide was telling us how that everything was now Christianized, the temples, the statues, or whatever, after Constantine's conversion. And as if, well, it's over. Satan is, he's bound. It's over. We've seen the pictures of the king slaying the dragon. But brethren, Satan is still very much alive and very much in our presence. But why will Satan have to be removed? Well, I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah 14. We see Satan departed from God. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. God says, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Or how you're cut down to the ground, or light bringer. Here is a cherub that was a light bringer. And you know, he still would like to masquerade as that. We've all read where Satan comes as and his demons come as angels of light. They're not the grotesque monsters portrayed in pictures, especially from the Middle Ages, of part animal, part man, you know, with the horns. I guess he'd still like to believe that he's an angel of light, maybe. You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He did not stay in his created position, an anointed cherub. No, he moved on. He departed. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In other words, he left his God-given responsibilities, and apparently, he wanted to take God's responsibilities. So Satan departed from God, just as every human being that God calls will have the opportunity to depart from God if they so choose. Let's see in Jude verse 6. Here, we see that they weren't satisfied with what God had given them. In Jude verse 6, it says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation." Satan and his demons left, and they departed God. They forsake God. They forsook God's way. Apparently, they forsook his commandments of whatever applied to them. They left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. They departed from where God had given them as created spirit beings. They left and they departed from God. So they've left themselves in the position where they would have to be removed from their responsibilities and their authority. Also, Satan, he not only sinned, but he sinned willfully. He willfully forsook God. Like he reasoned it out, he thought it out, and he willingly forsook God. Ezekiel chapter 28. We would look there for a moment. I'm glad I'm speaking first. Good luck, Jim. No, I couldn't even approach his subject. Ezekiel 28 in verse 12. Says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord Eternal," or the Lord God, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." This could not be describing a human. There's no human that this could describe. Here is a being that you would think would have everything. Seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. What else would, as a human being, would you want? Wisdom, beauty, perfection. In verse 13, you see, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold." I don't know, did he have gold earrings, earrings, diamond rings? I don't know, but he was decked with precious jewels. You know, he had all the beauty. And also, "The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared in you." He was a great musician. I think it goes to show that just by having everything just right doesn't guarantee you're going to be just right. Verse 14, "You were the anointed cherub who covers," the very cherub there in the throne of God. "I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways." Think, how could anyone forsake such as that? "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading or slander, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." And it seems so many times that beauty, wealth, and these things can destroy a person because of your beauty. "You corrupted your wisdom." It was a willing choice. God says, you corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And he said, I cast you to the ground and laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuary. He willingly defiled what he had. As my parents used to say, he messed in his plate. I mean, he's got this fabulous plate. You know, you've seen chicken or a cow, just, you know, you give them food and they're walking in it and scratching and messing it up. You know, I don't know what else to say. He did that. He had everything. You defiled your sanctuaries, which sanctuary would be like almost a holy place or a sacred place where a king would dwell. I mean, this being was like where a king would dwell. By the iniquity of your trading, therefore, I brought fire from your midst. I devoured you and laid you to ashes upon the earth. Words, he, instead of this beautiful cherub, he just became like a serpent because he willingly departed from God. He chose that way, and he departed. Another point I'd like to make about Satan and why it just is, he just must be removed. Of course, he's a liar and a murderer. You know, us living with these things every day, it might be hard for us to realize that at one time there was no such thing as a lie. Well, there wasn't a lie. There was no one had ever told a lie. There was no such thing as lying. Let's look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus Christ, the very creator, which I'm sure was instrumental in creating the beautiful cherub, in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, You are of your father the devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He defiled his own sanctuary. He came up with the idea of lying and murder. He's the father of it. Apparently, it says to me these things didn't exist before him. And look what lying and murder has done to this earth. If you could just take that away, how would the world be different? And of course, then when Christ actually came in the flesh, Satan was there to tempt him, twisting the scriptures, in reality lying of what the scriptures said. Let's turn, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 2. Notice that Adam and Eve were given a warning. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. And the eternal God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam and Eve were warned up front what to avoid. Said, you have all the trees in the garden, including the tree of life, but you're not to touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you're going to die. But of course, who but the father of liars would intervene? Let's look at chapter 3 of Genesis in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, and I'm sure to bring down a third of the angels. He's a very persuasive salesman. which the eternal God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? It's very subtle, setting someone up for a sin. And that has not changed. Have you ever felt set up? All at once you catch yourself, and how did I get in this situation? And you realize, yeah, you were set up. You had the choice, but you were still set up to be influenced to make a wrong choice. And said to the woman, God has said, You shall not eat of every tree. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So she repeats what God had commanded. But Satan, being very subtle, he didn't come right out and blurt out, Hey, Eve, you can eat that tree. You know, that's no harm. No, he just led into it. And that's the way he does. A real sales technique. And the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you're not going to die. God just doesn't want, like, he doesn't want any competition. You're going to be like him. All you have to do is eat this. But it's a very dangerous thing to eat. So Satan lied. And what did this lie create? It created influencing people to sin. And in verse 19, we see, God said in speaking to Adam, In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. This was the result of Satan's influence. It was a result of his enticing Eve. Then she enticed or just offered it to Adam. Probably wasn't much enticing. He just went ahead. But the result was death. Satan was a liar and he was a murderer. And of course, from then, we see Satan's demise was predicted. In 14 and 15 of chapter 3, we see that, of course, God spoke first to Satan. He started at the top and worked down. In verse 14, So the eternal God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. His demise was predicted right then. And what I looked this word up, best I can tell, it means like to gape or to snap or to overwhelm. His days are numbered. And God predicted it there in the very first book of the Bible. His demise was predicted. Would you turn to Leviticus 16? Which we all know this chapter, speaking of the Day of Atonement. And I don't want to go to, or I could not go to a lot of detail. But in verse 2 of Leviticus 16, it says, And the Eternal said to Moses, Tell Aaron your brother not to come at simply any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. So in verse 3, Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, as a ram as a burnt offering. Because of that, Satan's influence from the beginning. Now God, every person that comes before God must come with blood for himself. And we see here how in verse 5 then. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. And Aaron in verse 6 shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. Before he can even begin, he has to have an atonement with blood for himself. And in verse 7, he shall take the two goats and present them before the Eternal at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then in verse 8, then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Eternal and the other lot for the scapegoat, or Azazel, the Azazel goat. The Interpreter's Dictionary says it's a demon inhabiting the wilderness, or the goat of departure. See, we saw where Satan departed from God. It's one of his great original sins. And this Azazel is a goat of departure. And in verse 9, and Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Eternal's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. So we see here that the goat typified Jesus Christ, shedding his blood because of the sins of mankind. And in verse 10, we see that, and the goat on which the lot fell to be a scapegoat or an Azazel shall be presented alive before the Eternal to make an atonement upon it and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. In other words, like into a sterile or a sandy country. You know, just a desolate place. You know, I thought it was interesting when Christ cast out a demon, or he was speaking of casting out demons, said then the person's all cleaned and cleaned up, and then the demons walk through dry places. Whereas God's Spirit is typified by water. So Satan has taken such an opposite track from God. You know, even the demons, it's typified by dry places. A dry, barren region the goat was taken to. Uninhabited. In other words, he's not worthy to be around where there's inhabitants, and he's got to be removed. You know, I wonder, was there deserts in the beginning? I mean, did God create deserts? I know there's desert plants, but I see them growing in other places. You know, desolation seems to be more of a type of what Satan would have. And of course, this chapter goes on to tell about how the goat is released, and people have to wash after even coming around it. The Azazel represents Satan, of course, who bears responsibility for the sins of mankind. I mean, he began it. He's responsible for it. In the Aid to Bible Understanding, the Azazel, it says, the strong one against God, or powerful against God. The anointed cherub, maybe the strongest of the spirit beings, that he had everything, and he just, well, I don't want to say it again what he did, but we know what he did. He messed up his whole, everything he had, and along with it, he's taken angels and mankind down the very same road. You know, and when they sent that sin-laden goat into the wilderness, you know, it was the type that, there goes Satan. He's not worthy to inhabit any type of area where there's inhabitants. It's uninhabited wilderness. You know, as a present ruler, he bears a responsibility for his perversity, you know, beguiling and coercing people every day into sin, and of course bringing them into destruction. Because how can you have a society where people aren't law abiding? We're just driving up here, we came to a stop sign out in the country. There's nothing, there's a stop sign. And I told my wife, I said, you know, this is what separates civilization from savages. People in the country, nobody's watching, they come up to a stop sign and they stop. You know, they stop. Nobody's watching, but they go ahead and stop. That's what people do in a civilized civilization. You know, but Satan has gone the other way. You've made complete reconciliation to God. Just how could it be possible? Until the source of that, of the one, the sin of the source of sin and suffering and misery on this earth is removed. And of course, that source is Satan.